League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hi, I'm Brad Keselowski, driver number 2, Discount Tire Ford Mustang. If there's one thing I've learned after years on the track, it's that having the right amount of pressure in your tires can make or break performance. Properly inflated tires are essential to the health of your car and to keep you driving safely. Check your tire pressure once a month, especially before road trips, or stop by your neighborhood tire retailer for help.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
We have the world at our fingertips, inspiration in our touch, and power in our hands. Right here, in our hands, we have the power to save a life. If you see a teen or adult suddenly collapse, call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest.
The power is in your hands.
Anthem Foundation is the proud national supporter of the American Heart Association's Hands Only CPR campaign.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Well, it's the fastest growing game show in the world. It's Who Said It? ESPN 97.5 personalities, quotes Brendan will read to us, and then we'll guess who said them. Sometimes our guesses are better than others. I've been on a heater when it comes to Who Said It as of late. First time we played.
I don't know where this is coming from, this self-anointed heater you're on.
Yeah, I'm on
a
heater.
We haven't played, that's why.
Right.
He's gotten
that's
done wrong.
The only possible I don't think I've missed one, like in 4 weeks.
We haven't played in 4 weeks.
Hey, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. All right, let's get started.
We're a team here, buddy.
Well, you're also
so
on a heater.
So let's do this.
You're also on a heater. I mean, every team, it's important to know our roles.
Because of the heater you're on, I'm going to set the bar high this
week. No, don't do that. No,
see,
why would you do
did.
A crazy thing
look
like that?
Look what you just did, press conference guy.
My bad. That's what we call Branham foot and mouth there.
The goal is three, more than half of them.
More than half. That's a high bar, man.
Like, yeah, well, you're on a heater.
In baseball, you better hope I go pawpaw
and I'm right then. Because I went against my gut feelings last time and I burned myself.
All right. Number one.
Who are you playing with?
You at Drift Bar.
It's been a while. I have no idea.
That is a fact. That was twice that week.
All right. Number one. I'll say this right now. If he will agree to it, I'll sumo wrestle Joel Blank at the Christmas party. I'll say this right now.
Oh,
if
man.
You will agree to it, I'll sumo wrestle Joel Blank at the Christmas party.
I want to see that.
I don't know. If it's Cody, I don't want any part of it. I don't think I want any part of it anyway.
I think that's all it is. I think that's who it is.
Yeah?
I think Cody likes wrestling. I think
yes,
there's
he
only.
Does.
I think there's only maybe two people who would suggest a sumo wrestling challenge. Like, that to me
how the hell
shows
does anybody
confidence
know how
your
to
size.
Do it?
I mean, I don't think there's much to
you
sumo wrestling.
You walk around like you're constipated and squat a lot.
I watched a video on it yesterday after I heard the quote.
I think you just like body bump. I don't think there's much to
don't
sumo
you have
wrestling.
To do that kind of war dance walkout, and you got to kind of, and then it's just whoever grabs each other around the belt line and gets them out of the ring.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like a Royal Rumble where you just try to shove somebody out of the circle. I don't think there's much to it. I'd like to see it. I think you should do it.
I'm not doing it.
Why? You always talk about how tough you are and how you can win matches.
Wait a minute, time out. I don't talk about how tough I am.
Yeah, you do actually.
No, I don't.
You talk about your toughness.
Oh, boy.
You're very tough. Who do you think said this?
I think it's Cody.
I think it's Cody. Or we just want to go with Cody.
Yeah.
All right, Cody, this.
I'll say this right now. He'll agree
yeah!
to it. I'll Peter. Sumo wrestle Joel Blank at the Christmas party.
Whoa!
Why don't you want to do that?
Because he's huge.
He's a big man.
I will tell you, he followed this up by saying he would sumo wrestle any of us. So the invitation is to all three of us.
I mean, we've got
to
have weight classes. Come on.
Well, see, well, there. I think I'm the most likely. Tell me to do it. He wants to do that. Then you're free to do it.
He didn't call. He didn't put my name in his mouth.
He said your name in his mouth. After that, he said the invitation is to anyone.
He didn't say Joel Blank. That sounds like a challenge to me. I never thought you'd be one to back down from challenges. I'll talk to Cody and make sure he says it today on the show. Well, I would back down from challenges.
Number two, one love. Sorry, it's multiple. To the Mormon community, it's very divisive.
Huh? Say that again.
One love. Sorry, it's multiple. To the Mormon community, it's very divisive.
I think that to me is in the Paul Gallant, Brad Kellner mold.
It is, but it also could be a News of the Weird where it would be a Lance comment.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a Lance one. My lean is Paul. What is your lean?
I'm trying to think the context of where it was brought up. I could see it bringing up
Paul goes anywhere.
I could see it could be a News of the Weird story. And the wheelhouse doesn't.
I don't think that's a sitting structure of Granado or Lance, though. Say it one more time.
One love. Sorry, it's multiple to the Mormon community. It's very divisive.
That Caton threw me off there.
Well, it's kind of written weird.
Sometimes you'll give us the context of it.
I kind of wrote it weird,
but I think that's
the context is they're talking about the phrase one love.
Who's one love?
The phrase one love. You're not familiar?
Yeah, one love used to be, was it Cain's? One love?
Maybe.
I somehow think this is directly related to like a News of the Weird story. So I would lean, I could see Lance saying something like that.
I think it's Paul. Brendan, who's had more success and who said it history?
Oh, I mean, it's not close. It's Joel by a large margin.
All right, well, let's go with Lance then. We'll play the percentages. Go with Lance.
One love? Sorry, we have multiple.
Mormon
community. It's very divisive.
Stop. Oh, okay. All right, we got one.
I was in the ballpark.
You were in the ballpark. No, don't. Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
All right, let's go.
Number three.
Maybe Jeremy is the guy I talked to. I'll renounce my title as the preeminent Coug at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 just for the jersey.
Oh, that's Paul. That's Paul.
That's exactly right.
He even talked about the jersey the other day walking out of the studio.
He's jumping on the bandwagon because Andrew Carlson doesn't count, right?
He's not talent, no. So if
Andrew's out, then I agree with you. It's Paul because I heard him saying how much he was gushing over the Cougar basketball team.
He has gushed about the Cougar basketball team. He's called himself a Cougar. I think they put him like on one of the intro videos at the start of the year, and he lost his mind, was so happy about that. I think it's Paul.
We're at the Fertitta Center?
Like one of the season preview hype videos that they put out there. Huh. There was like a preview hype video, and Paul's talked about how this is like the best team in the city. And it made the hype video, and Paul was like very giddy, rightfully so.
That's cool. Yeah.
Number one team in the nation. Go Cougs. I think it's Paul.
Maybe Jeremy's the guy I talked to.
Boom.
I'll renounce my title as the preeminent Coug at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 just for the jersey.
We need to let Paul lightly down, though. There's no way he's the preeminent Coug of the station. Love you, Paul. I love that you're on the bandwagon.
Who
can always be on the bandwagon.
That it's not you.
Right. You can, and we love you there, Paul. Paul, you can be riding shotgun next to me.
Andrew Carlson is two, and he's three.
I'll take Paul over AC. AC says some bad things about the Cougars every now and then.
And about the Killer Bees.
But Paul, yeah, exactly. Paul can ride shotgun, but you ain't the preeminent Cougar. But we're two for three.
So you can't trade that for a jersey?
I need it. Those jerseys are pretty sweet. The Elvin Hayes jerseys. People wrongfully call them the Five Slamma Jamma jerseys. Nuh-uh. Those are the Elvin Hayes jerseys.
But the reason they do that is because there was a reprint for like a limited 500 set of Akeem and Clyde jerseys.
And
like
I also
that.
Don't think that they were alive to see the Big E wear them as well. Plus, I don't know if there's color televisions yet. All right, number four.
All right. Number four, and you only need one more to hit my quota.
That's right.
To keep the heater going. Number four, I still don't have access to the text line. Nobody has ever showed me how to use that.
No one has ever showed me how to use that? I think that's BK.
You're right, because I was trying to think. The bench just ignores it. I think that, well, do they?
I don't know if they do. I don't know. I don't know.
They ignore a lot of the interaction possibilities.
They might ignore it, but they've been taught how to use it.
But they twitch. They see twitch. Whether they respond to it or not. But I will say this. When we come in and we check the text line, a lot, you know if a text has been opened or not. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of the bench that always stays unopened.
Yeah, but I think they do open some.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe that's 50% of... That's the one that knows how to open it and get into it.
I think it's BK. Do you disagree?
I do. But
all right,
This time you went my way. The last time I will go your way.
What happened? We went your way.
We didn't get it, but right. I was in the arena, so you got a shot.
I think it's BK. Let's go, BK.
I still don't have access to the text line.
There we go.
Nobody's ever showed me how to use that.
See, but that's teamwork.
I don't know. It's no one.
That was good teamwork.
You guys are on a team, Jeremy. It's a role.
Yeah, Jeremy, we're on a team, and we already met the quota, so that was a little bit of teamwork there.
There's one guy you want shooting when the shot clock's winded down.
And it ain't you.
All I'm saying. I'm sorry?
You got one right, and you're going to hang your entire career on it?
So we've had two today where we went your route on one. We went my route on one.
Let's go.
Didn't Steve Kerr have a big buzzer beater at one point in his career?
He did, yeah. Yeah, he made it. He also got punched in the face.
I'm just saying. So did Steve Novak.
Yeah.
In the 22-game win streak.
Marquette?
Yeah. Okay. But I'm talking about the 22-game win streak for the Rockets against Sacramento.
Skip to my Lou.
All right. Number
made
5.
Pass?
I think maybe. He was on the team.
And you're playing for a tie of the best you've ever had. You've never had a perfect sweep.
The table.
You've only gotten four a couple times.
We've gotten close. We started off 4-for-4.
You've gotten four a couple times.
I think
times.
Twice, yeah.
In order to get 5-for-5, you do kind of have to start 4-for-4.
Number 5.
But I'm saying we've gotten four twice. Oh. But the four that we've gotten, we started 4-for-4.
So this is for number 4.
Yeah. This is for number 4.
Which today wouldn't be that case. We got to 4 differently.
It's like a scene out of Saw. We're in a room. Like, see if you can get out of the room without freezing to death.
Could be. That's good. Jake Asman bitches about the climate in this room more than anybody.
But remember when it was cold? It was in the morning. And Jake likes the cold, doesn't like the heat. Remember,
he doesn't like any of it.
But he's told me he prefers the cold over the heat. So I don't think he would say that. I don't think
he'd say that.
Give
it to me one more time, Brendan.
It's like a scene out of Saw. We're into the room, like, see if you can get out of the room without freezing to death.
I think that's just based on what it was that day. I don't think it has anything to do with liking hot versus cold or vice versa.
I think it's Lance. I think it matters the day it was said. I think it matters the time of the day that it was said. And remember, BMAC told us one day that it's like an icebox in here. Make sure you bring a hoodie. And we got in here, and it was 85 degrees in the studio as we were dressed for winter.
I'm going to let you stay hot then. I'm going to say that I thought it was Jake initially because of how much he bitches about the temperature in here.
He does, but he doesn't usually gripe about the cold.
I like you thinking this out, so we'll go your route.
Let's go, Lance.
Now we're trying to turn it
look
off.
Look at me.
It was like a breeze. Like
I'm Jordan.
But we don't have to look at you. We're looking at you more. I'm telling us. I'm glad you got it right.
I'm Michael Jordan. I'm Michael Jordan. When it comes to who said it, I'm Michael Jordan.
I would like to clarify. All you heard was that it was the morning show and started celebrating. You didn't hear. There's no shot.
I heard him.
Heard who said
I
it.
I did hear him. Was it Lance?
No, yeah, it was Lance.
There you go.
But
I heard him.
But they both talk a lot in that clip. I had to figure out which one I wanted.
I guarantee you. What day did BMAC tell us that it was really cold? Was it Monday?
Monday or Tuesday.
I guarantee you it was that day. Guarantee you it was that day.
I think it might have been Wednesday because I wasn't here Tuesday.
Okay. Whatever day it was.
4.
Just telling.
Run.
Look at me. Hit the shot at the buzzer.
Look at him, bro.
Back-to-back
questions. Like, okay. Look at everybody.
I did great.
Look at you.
I was fantastic today. I brought my
A-game. Jeremy, that one was like, you're up 20. Like, you already won. Wait, like, that one didn't matter.
I don't. Whatever. I'm just saying.
I was just a
I performed
teammate.
Well. My form today was an A. If you look at my soccer rating today, it's like a 99. 713-780-ESPN. What was your favorite performance of Who Said It? All right, Jeff Bagwell, he had a lot to say earlier whenever they announced Jose Abreu as the newest Houston Astro. A lot of what he said from, like, you know, video, audio that we've heard, it's always like, sabermetric stinks. Am I the boss? Et cetera, et cetera. He had one quote that I saw today in a Chandler Rome story about the Astros that I absolutely love. Not many people have heard it. And I think it shines Bagwell in a good light. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hopefully Branham has a great weekend now. I think I have to have continue riding this heater. 1984, when it comes to Who Said It, every Michael Jordan needs a Tony Kukoc. Good job, Branham. I think it's a good point. Branham, Jordan, Blankers.
Thanks for Tony Kukoc-ing me today.
At least you weren't Branham. Pippen, didn't show up. At least you answered the bell. You know what I'm saying?
I'm already set up to have a good weekend because we got the quota. I'm just going to let it slide.
Do you know Michael Jordan's son's dating Scottie Pippen's
ex-wife? Yep. Larsa, who used to was... Married to Scotty when he was a Rocket.
You know Jeff Bagwell's married to, was it
Dr. Brown.
Dr. Brown's ex-wife?
Yeah, and you know Dr. Brown's no longer with us.
Yeah, I do know that. Yeah. What was the saying?
It was the Brown Hand Center, right?
Yeah, but what was the phrase at the end where the little girl said, like, oh, it's escaping me?
I know.
713-780-ESPN. Like something like made Papa proud. I can't remember the quote. Man, that makes me mad. 713-780-3776. What did the little girl say at the end of the Dr. Brown hand commercial? Jeff Bagwell's a big fan of the Killer Bees, by the way. He's the boss of the Astros. I don't think he has any interest in being the general manager. He said he doesn't. Some people don't believe him. I don't think he wants to work that hard.
Well, flimsy cherry got it.
What is it?
Daddy's baby girl.
That's what it was. Daddy's baby's girl. Daddy's baby girl. Yeah. Daddy's baby girl now calls Jeff Bagwell Papa. But he's the boss of the Houston Astros. He's Crane's right-hand man. He's got a devilish goatee. He's a handsome son of a gun. Anyways, Jeff Bagwell... talked about sabermetrics. People like he bashed analytics. People hate him. Deadspin like is crushing Jeff Bagwell, saying that he's bashing the general manager that won the World Series. Blah 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 blah. Whatever. Chandler Rome, who covers the Astros for the Houston Chronicle, he had a quote from Jeff Bagwell that I didn't see video of, audio of from this little press conference he held where he was holding court for 15 minutes after the Abreu announcement. And I love this quote here, Blankers. And there's couple of reasons why, but let me read you the quote first. Mm-hmm. This is from Chandler Rome's story today in the Chronicle. The main thing we want to do here is I don't want to hear windows. I want to hear every single year we have a chance to win. That's how we have to base our decisions. Short term, but the long term in the back of our minds, like how are we going to be in 3 years, 5 years, 7 to 10 years? One of the things that I always look at, Blankers, is I want the Astros to have long-term sustained success. It's one of the reasons I didn't want Springer. It's one of the reasons I didn't want Cole. It's one of the reasons I didn't want Carlos Correa on a huge multi-year deal. I think signing players to multi-year deals into their 30s, I'm talking 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year
deals. You don't want handcuffed deals that really have no ROI in the last the back half.
That, and because I also think that they have long-term ramifications for an organization, mm-hmm. money, resources, development spent, minor league system, that sort of thing. That Jeff Bagwell, who's like, I don't think he's anti-analytics. I think he was taken a little bit out of context here. He said they went too far in analytics. I don't think he's anti-analytics. That you have Bagwell, who's the boss of the Astros, that obviously has Crane's ear, talking about the 3 year, the 5 year, the 7 to 10 year, not talking about the windows. The Astros aren't like putting all their chips in the center of the table. They're not going all in. It's not this, we're in this current window, we're going to win it all right now. It's, we want to win it all right now, but we also want to have long-term success for the history of this organization. I look at Jim Crane. He wants to be a dynasty. They are a dynasty. Two World Series titles. They're hoping for more. I think he aspires for more than that, though. I think he wants to be the model franchise in baseball. He wants to be what the Yankees were, where the Yankees went to the playoffs 24 of 28 years. He's cool with the two World Series in 6 years. He obviously wants more, but I think Jim Crane wants to be a team that's in the playoffs every single year for 3 decades.
I agree, but that's a hell of a lot more challenging than just saying it to the media, too.
But it's also the philosophy and the goal.
Right, no, but I love the fact that that's the goal, because that wasn't the goal with Uncle Drayton.
No.
That at all. Okay? So night meet day. I mean, as a fan, you love to hear it, but you also realize, especially if Bagwell's saying it, hey, maybe that's another reason why he doesn't want to be the number one front guy for the next 3 to 5 years, or maybe even this entire season, because he realizes that's a lot of responsibility that comes with that quote too, because you're the guy with the keys that's gonna have to execute it. And that's going to take some really deep dives on analytics, on cap, on all these different things, on the contracts. Because I love it in theory, and I want it to be the case. Because I completely agree with you. I think Crane looks at this and says, look, we got off to a rocky start because of what happened in 17. But now people are more and more coming around to our side that says, this 6-year run that doesn't have to stop anytime soon could establish us, when you look at the history of baseball and how many teams have been able to do something like this, as one of the greatest franchises of all time. And that's something that has a ring to it that he likes an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that with that, too, comes the fact that he's got to make the savvy decisions. He's got to make the tough decisions. And that's a challenge on a daily basis.
And what the Astros have done short, the reason that I love this quote so much is because, like, Bagwell's thinking long term. Bagwell, obviously, he and Crane synonymous, I think, right now. Bagwell's the boss of the Houston Astros. Is that everything that they've done recently, people think that Crane's going all in, that Crane's trying to win while the iron's hot, that the window, he feels like he needs to win while this window is still open, because Altuve's up in 2 years, Bregman's up in 2 years, Tucker's up in 3 years, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I would point to the 2017 team. How many players from 2017 are still here? But I like the big picture aspect of it, where if you look at the big picture, everything that Crane has done also adds up to, I think, the big picture. Did he overspend in terms of AAV on Rafael Montero? Sure, you can make that case. Zero long-term ramifications, though. Jose Abreu, did he give that extra third year? Does that make you a little bit uneasy? Sure. Multiple other teams were willing to do that, but you know that third year can make you feel a little bit uneasy. But zero long-term ramifications. The one move that Crane has made since the end of the World Series that is big picture is the GM spot. It is James Click. He didn't want James Click to be the captain of the ship long-term in this organization, and he wants to go out there. Look, he's taking his time. He says he wants to hire one before spring training. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition. But they are thinking big picture as well. Short-term signings with Abreu on Montero, sure, because they want to be really good right now, but they still want to be really good long-term as well.
He didn't want a coupon clipper, and he thought that that's what James Click was. He was going to be cutting coupons to be the Rays in Cleveland and trying to say, hey, we're a winning franchise because we keep winning the division. We keep getting to the playoffs, and saying that was good enough. Because to him, getting a taste of this and then on this run that they've been on since he's got in between his two World Series rings, he's liked it so much that he doesn't want it to end. And the only way to do that is to not be a coupon clipper, but you got to be savvy enough, intelligent enough, and research it enough to be able to say, this is one I'm going to pass on, like the guys they passed on in the past, but also the ones they're going to be aggressive on. I also think that in part, Abreu and that third year, as much as we both highlighted and agreed that it wasn't that big of a reach because it's only a three-year deal, I also think that he wanted that three-year deal to come about synonymous with when he signs Tucker to the extension, so that when Abreu's money starts going away and his career and his skills diminish, that's when he takes that money and allocates it towards making sure he keeps Kyle Tucker. Books.
I would bet that they don't re-sign Kyle Tucker as like a
you're saying it's
going to
fall right in line with Springer, Correa,
type deals. I believe that. I don't think Tucker's going to sign an extension with the Astros. Just my guess, and it's not.
But they'll take it to the bitter end. They'll go to arbitration. They'll do what they need to do to keep him around.
Which this will be his first year of arbitration. Yep. So he's still got 3 years of club control. So like he's still going to be an Astro for the next few years. I think he's going to price himself out of the Astros market. Now, if Crane wants to make splashes and he wants a dynasty, they already are a dynasty. I think he wants bigger than dynasty. Mm-hmm. He wants 20 playoff appearances
in
22 years.
In the history of baseball type recognition.
Yep. So if Crane wants all of that, do you think he's willing to spend more than we've seen previously? Up to the competitive balance tax, once every blue moon, he'll go above the CBT?
I think he is. And I think that because of the fact that there's always, I think Click was the governor. I think he had the governors on to the state. No matter how much Crane probably wanted to do, Click was the voice of reason governing it all and being able to say, hey, slow down. Don't go that fast. Don't put the pedal all the way down all the time and trying to like coach him into his way of thinking. Mm-hmm. So I think now with Click out of the picture, I think Crane definitely is the guy that is going to be able to say, hey, you better see whoever the new next general manager candidates are. You better be able to see it my way. You better be able to understand what my ultimate goals are and what my yearly goals are and my 3 to 5 year goals are. And if we're not on the same page, I'm not doing this again. You're not going to be the right guy for the job.
I think the answer to this is yes and no. Because I don't think that you have to go over the CBT to be this organization that wins year in, year out. I really don't. I think you have to be shrewd and smart about it. I think that Crane's going to spend, relative to the CBT, what he's always been willing to spend when the Astros are a contender, where he's willing to go up to the CBT. Now, by default, because the CBT raises every year, it escalates up. So he's going to spend more based on dollar figure. But in terms of like percentage of the CBT that he uses, I think Crane's always going to be like right at the CBT. I really don't think he's going to be an owner that consistently goes over it.
I think as long as he's fighting for a chance to win the World Series, he is going to be a guy that will understand and probably more times than not go over it now, because he sees the other teams that are in that same boat, that same category, and he sees them doing it every year. And he can't do it every year, but as long as they have a chance to win a World Series and not just win the West and be a team that has a fighter's chance to win a round or two, that's when he'll say, instead of tiptoeing it, as long as we're still a favorite to win it, then I'm willing to go over it.
I think he's willing to go over it, and like you said, not year in, year out. But I think year in, year out, he's going to be right at that tax, right at
it. Yeah, he'll push it right up too, but I think he'll cross it for the next 3 years as long as they have a chance to win the World Series. The next three seasons, especially with a click type out of it, I think he definitely for the next 3 years is going to be in full go-for-it mode.
I think I would take the bet, though. I would say the next 3 years he won't go over it every year.
He's definitely going over it this year.
You think?
I think he is.
He's still got $40 million to spend.
He's still got plenty of time on the calendar, too, depending on what they need now and what they need before.
If no Verlander, though, I don't know how they go above 40. Because you get Contreras at 20, Brantley at 15.
I'd like to see him try and find out.
Let's see if we can puzzle piece our way to $40 million more for the Astros. 713-780-ESPN. Do you think Crane will go over the CBT? How often do you think he'll be going over the CBT? And if he wants to make splashes, wants to be a dynasty, is he willing to spend more than we've seen previously? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.com.
And talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
How did the Astros get to $40 million? They're projected roughly around $40 million left to spend. Projections with after arbitration, all of that stuff, we have to pay out money. It's roughly $193 that the Astros payroll currently is post-arbitration projections. The competitive balance tax is at $233 million. You're looking at $40 million left to spend for the Houston Astros. How do you spend that $40 million?
I chuckled because if it was a little bit more, my answer would have been Aaron Judge. Next topic.
Get out of here. But 40 is not even going
to
be enough.
I understand.
Judge.
Like I said, it had to be more, but it would have been Aaron Judge. Next discussion. If it's not, I could see depending on what are we thinking. Contreras is what, 20?
I would guess around 20.
Okay. So there's one. There's Contreras, right? Now, do you want Uncle Mike back?
I mean, my druthers, I want Yoshida the most, but I don't think that the Astros would go that route.
You could have them both.
Yeah.
You could have Nimmo and Conforto if you want to be like Patrick Creighton. You could have one of those guys and or your guy or and or Michael Brantley. And you know what? You could have more.
Yeah. 6030 says, guys, he's getting Contreras. One of Conforto, Nimmo, Benintendi. Crane wants to prove a point in two ways. Everyone that called him out for firing Click and then proving Click wrong and being so frugal. I think that 6030 is on to something. I really do. I think that he is trying to prove a point that, hey, look, Click was not necessarily the igniter of our organization. And I do think that he wants to point out that he was frugal.
The other thing, too, that I'd like to get your opinion on would be Benintendi, because we heard our friend of the show, John Heyman, bring up the fact that Benintendi and the Astros, was it John Heyman or was it?
No, I think it was Nightingale.
Oh, it was Bob Nightingale. Right. It was Bob Nightingale this week. Thinking,
have we had Heyman on?
We've had him on before.
Yeah, we've had, I think, maybe.
Yeah, but just not. This week it was Bob Nightingale.
You've never had Heyman on for us?
I don't think so.
We've had him on.
Have you had Morosi on?
Morosi we've had on.
No, I wouldn't confuse Morosi and
I think we've had
Heyman.
Nightingale on at least once.
Who?
Well, Nightingale's.
I mean, Heyman.
I think we have had.
We've
Heyman
had Heyman
once.
On at least once. Yeah, we've had Nightingale on frequently.
Yeah, I think
Nightingale
we have.
Was on this week. He threw out Benintendi when we had been discussing other names, though we brought him up that's been rumored. Mm-hmm. I don't want Benintendi.
Oh, I wouldn't mind Benintendi. Why don't you want Benintendi?
I just don't believe
he's a younger version of Brantley.
But he's an older version of the Red Sox Benintendi when I thought he was at his best.
He's pretty good this past year. He was pretty good this past year. Now, do you expect Benintendi to come in and be like an all-star? No, I don't expect Benintendi to come be an all-star. Here's how I want to spend the $40 million. I've come around on the idea of Wilson Contreras. The qualifying offer, the international money, I understand that that's like going to cost you. I understand that that's not ideal. I'm willing to sacrifice that for Wilson Contreras. I've also come around to the idea that Wilson Contreras might be the catcher for this team, which is something that I've been hesitant to get to because I don't think Dusty Baker's willing to do it. But this Chandler Rome article today talking about Bagwell, he's like, look, we love Maldonado, but sometimes there's upgrades to be had. Jeff Bagwell is the boss of the Houston Astros. So seeing Jeff Bagwell say that, I'm going to respect what Jeff Bagwell had to say. So Wilson Contreras, let's just call it $20 million.
Okay, wait, just
maybe
one
it's a million
though.
Or two more.
Would you say that definitely says points towards Contreras, or does that point towards a Vasquez who is a better hitter and night and day better offensive player and the same kind of defensive catcher.
Hold on. What did you say? Night and day what?
Night and day, he's a better hitter than Maldonado.
Oh, I think you meant Contreras.
No, I'm saying
Contreras is better than
Vasquez. Get him
Vasquez.
A lot cheaper, too. So you could upgrade theoretically with either guy, Contreras or Vasquez.
Don't tell Dusty that. Dusty didn't think Vasquez was an upgrade over Maldonado
until he saw
who
he did
played last
when
year.
He did play catcher.
Now, I haven't. The reason that I've ruled out Vasquez is because I have not seen the Astros' name linked to Vasquez. Nowhere have I seen anybody report that the Astros.
I haven't
are in
seen
on
anybody
Vasquez.
Linked to him.
Vasquez. I've seen the Cubs linked to Vasquez.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. I heard. Well, I mean, again, whoever we had on this week said that Vasquez. We could see a flip flop. Contreras goes to the Astros. Vasquez goes.
Yeah,
to the Cubs.
I've seen that from more than just Nightingale too with Vasquez. The reason that I lean Contreras is because of everybody reporting that the Astros' interest on Contreras is hot and heavy, and I've not seen them linked to Vasquez. So that's why my you know rationale here is more on the Vasquez side. So I think that they are gonna. I mean, we'll see if they do get him, but to spend the $40 million. I think it's going to be Wilson Contreras, 20, maybe a million or two more, whatever, $20 million. So that cuts that $40 million you have left to spend in half. You still got $20 million left to spend. Then on top of Contreras, they're going to get an outfielder, a left-handed hitting outfielder. I don't really have, I mean, I have preferences, but if it's anything of Brantley, Benintendi, Yoshida, Conforto, if you want to throw him into the mix, Nimmo, if you want to throw him into the mix as well, all of those guys are in play here. I probably just lean Brantley, get Brantley at $10, $12 million. Now you have $8 million left to spend. And then I think they re-sign Yuli Gurriel. I think they re-sign Yuli Gurriel as the backup corner infielder. Maybe he's a platoon option at DH against left-handed pitching whenever you need to sit either Michael Brantley or Yordan Alvarez. So I think they would go Contreras, left fielder. My lean right now, my guess right now is Brantley and Yuli Gurriel. So I think that's how they spend the money. How do you think they spend the money?
713-780-3776.
I want Yoshida. I think Yoshida, though, is going to take away all of the $20 million where I can get Yuli and Brantley. And I really don't think the Astros would be in on Yoshida. I feel like with what they currently have running their front office, that they want people that they feel are low risk, people that they've seen play, people that they know their game. I understand that Yoshida's kind of feast or famine. Like, we don't know who he's going to be. We don't know how his game's going to translate. And I don't feel the Astros, because they currently don't really have a general manager in place, are going to spend a substantial amount of money on somebody they've never seen play. So that's kind of my hunch. It's more of a hunch. I'm intrigued by Yoshida, but it's my hunch.
But with Yoshida, I would also go so far as to say, I don't think it's a splash for Crane. I don't think the name and the impact of the signing.
You don't think that'd be a bigger splash than Andrew Benintendi?
I don't.
Really?
In Crane's mind, I don't. I think because it's the unknown of a guy that no one has known with no reputation in the league, as opposed to going and getting another guy that has built a reputation as being a better than average outfielder, a pretty good hitter, and a lot of the things that everybody goes, wow, the Astros just added another solid player, as opposed to the unknown.
I think a lot of Astros rather have Vasquez than Contreras. 9648, Benintendi, Vasquez, Brantley will remain under $40 million. 9648, Conforto, Vasquez, and Brantley, boom. I don't think you need two outfielders, especially if they're both corner outfielders. Like, what are you doing with Conforto and Brantley? Now you have Conforto, Brantley, Yordan that are trying to split at bats in left field DH. You're not getting more than one corner outfielder. Like, if you want to get really greedy, you're looking at Vasquez, Nimmo. Now you can play him in center field and then a corner outfielder. I don't think that the Astros are going to get more than one outfielder. I think they go catcher. I think that they go corner outfielder, which if you reverse back to the conversation we were having in September, whenever I said let Justin Verlander walk and sign a first baseman, a catcher, and a corner outfielder, and people thought I was nuts, the Astros, let me ask you now on December 2nd, fast forward a few months, would you rather have Verlander this offseason or Jose Abreu as a first baseman, Wilson Contreras as your catcher, and pick your left fielder, Andrew Benintendi, Michael Brantley, any of those, which of those would you rather have?
Obviously, you know the answer to that, and you obviously are on a heater today about Jeremy Branham, heating up Jeremy Branham. And so, yes, you were correct, and that's exactly the route that they should go.
Very big of you. Very big of you. 3403, can we get Contreras, Uncle Mike, and Bellinger? Can't stand B, but...
God, I don't want Bellinger on this team.
See, the thing with Bellinger, I don't either.
And you don't know what he can do anymore.
The thing with The thing with Bellinger, he plays center field pretty good. So he does something where a Brantley doesn't, a Conforto doesn't, a Benintendi doesn't. Whereas now Bellinger's on this team, maybe he's your center fielder against righties and Chaz is your center fielder against lefties. I don't want to spend significant money on Bellinger. I'd rather not have Bellinger. But if the news came out 3 minutes from now that the Astros signed Cody Bellinger, I'd say, okay, that is intriguing.
That's another splashy that move from Crane by name and previous reputation with the Astros alone. Right. But I think for me, and you know I've always been in this camp, I've always been a fan of Vasquez, and I want Vasquez on this team. So I would rather skip on Contreras to have Vasquez because I think Vasquez is a better catcher than Contreras.
And defensively, for sure.
And so defensively, and because he's not the same hitter pop-wise, but I believe Vasquez is a really good major league hitter, and I think you get him a lot cheaper. So then you could look at getting Vasquez instead of Contreras, and you could add maybe an extra guy where you said might need it, because I think Michael Brantley is better suited to be your fourth outfielder. I think Michael Brantley is a guy that can fill in at DH, fill in the outfield, but I don't think his body's suited anymore for a 162-game schedule, no matter how many days off you give him.
No, I don't think it is either. And if you go Vasquez instead of Contreras, well, it doesn't look like the Astros are doing that. But if you did go that route, you know, maybe it brings into play where you sign corner outfielder and a Bellinger
right.
with the savings. And I know we don't like Bellinger, because but maybe it brings another name into the mix.
We know Click's guy as the center fielder of the future with chances to be the center fielder of now was Jake.
Mm-hmm.
But if Jake Myers, now that Click's gone, isn't seen in the same light, then you conceivably could go get two free agent outfielders, a corner outfielder, yep. and a center fielder.
And to do that, I think you would need to save a catcher.
Yes,
whereas you sign
yes,
Vasquez yes. at 7, 8, 9, 10, as opposed to Contreras at 10, which brings you into play for one potential more player. Because right now, even if you sign another corner outfielder to this team, Jake Myers is on this team. Jake Myers is on this big league roster, and he and Chaz are probably sharing center field. Now, Chaz might be your majority center fielder, your primary center fielder, but Jake Myers would be on this team even if you sign another corner outfielder. As of now. Now, if you sign two outfielders,
then he might be trade bait.
He's a space cowboy in Sugarland or somebody that is trade bait. 713-780-ESPN. How would you spend Crane's $40 million? 713-780-3776. Browns, Texans on Sunday. The Texans Super Bowl. But is the NFL trying to bury the game? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I asked the boys if they're going to be watching the soccer match tomorrow, and Brendan says, if I'm up.
I said probably.
They kick off at 9. He said, I'm not going to set my alarm for it.
I will probably be
Some people maybe are better conditioned to not be parents.
I'm not going to set my alarm to
Hold
wake
on.
Up by
this
9?
This is ridiculous. The
9?
Fact that I'm getting slandered for this when I am a single man with no kids. 9 o'clock is not that late on a Saturday.
You have to set your alarm to get up at 9.
Okay, you are misrepresenting my answer. You said, will you watch the game tomorrow? No. I said, probably.
You said, what time is it?
I said 9, and I said, probably.
You said, I probably won't have to set my alarm.
And then I said, I will not set my alarm, but I will probably be awake for it.
Man.
It is a Saturday, Jeremy. Leave me alone.
I can't remember the last time I slept till 9.
I mean, that's... Kids change things.
I'm jealous. I'll be honest. I'm not trying to...
Now that you have Brandon baby, too.
Yeah.
What's your average wake-up time? Weekday and weekend.
Weekend, usually, I'll sleep till like 7:30 or 8 on the weekend.
Good for you.
7:30 on the weekend. Now, whenever during the week, I usually wake up around 6:45, which isn't terrible.
The latest that I can possibly think about sleeping in is 7.
Yeah. Yeah, that's around.
That's on weekends.
Oh.
Weekdays, I'm up by 6:15.
That's not so bad. That's in the same ballpark. I'm probably a little bit on the later end.
And again,
to be honest,
all dependent upon kids' sleeping habits.
Yeah.
And if,
like, that's a good day.
Yeah.
That's a good day.
And now that's better since Lisa doesn't have the morning show anymore.
Yeah, that was.
But because that added that extra element of being awake in the middle of the night, too. But yeah, I mean, that's the best I can hope for.
What dead name saying, when do you go to bed?
I, on average, go to bed 10:30.
I'm between 11 to midnight. Because, I mean, there's a lot of nights I don't get home till 10:30.
Right. 11. Your schedule that way, if I don't have anything pressing, then by the time the kids get to bed, there's probably a late game or something that I'm watching. And then the news, if not, I'll peep the news from 10 to 10:30, and then I'll start.
I'm anywhere between 11 to midnight. Now, I'll put my phone away like at 10. Because I keep the charger away from the bed Because I want to.
Oh, mine's got to be on my nightstand.
I don't want to snooze, and I don't want to look at it. So a lot of times I'll put the phone away. Once the clock turns 10, my phone is up. It's on the charger away from me because I don't want the phone to be the reason I'm staying up.
Wow. See, I can't. As long as I'm awake, I got the phone. And then when I sleep, because Lord knows whatever anybody is trying to reach us,
yeah,
that I always have. We each have our phones on the nightstand. And hers is different than mine, yeah, too, because if there's pressing news or something like that, too, on top of that. But if one can't reach, like her family, if they can't reach for some reason her, then they got to reach me. And with the kids involved, we both have them on our nightstand.
My wife and I both, like, if you try to call us while we're sleeping, we wouldn't know. We wouldn't know. And that's probably not a
that's
good thing.
That's crazy.
It's probably not a good thing. But I wouldn't. Now, whenever I'm on the road, I'll make sure I turn the ringer on. But whenever we're both at home, my phone's completely off. Like, it's not off, but I don't have the vibrate, and I don't have the ringer on.
Now, Lisa's always on her phone. She's always shopping on her phone and looking at things on her phone. So, and she has a work phone, and she has her personal phone. So, she's always got one phone. But I'm with you. Like, if I've got the family in front of me, or we're in the house together, there's a good chance that, especially on weekends, my phone is somewhere where I haven't seen it in a couple hours.
I need to get better at that. But once the clock turns 10, I put it away. Brandon, what time do you go to sleep?
Six. I kind of have a pretty wide range. I would say, on average, it's about six. Midnight. But it's as early as 10:30, as late as 1 o'clock.
Oh, that's not bad if you're an eligible bachelor. What time do you wake up?
Depends
weekday,
on work.
Weekday. That's what I'm saying. Weekday, normal weekday.
8 o'clock.
Do you set an alarm for that?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my goodness.
I would have to be up by 8.
I don't know if I
kids
can sleep
and dogs
past 8.
And the schedule that we both have, no
I
way.
I promise you, if you didn't have kids or, as Joel said, dogs to worry about, I promise you, it would not take weeks to be able to sleep till 8 o'clock.
Do you shut the blinds?
Oh, yeah.
You should just open the blinds and wake up with the sunlight.
No.
Go crunchy with it. Be organic.
For the most
crunchy?
Part.
Yeah, crunchy. It's like, it's another word for a hippie.
Okay. Like granola-esque?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
For the most part, I feel like I get enough sleep that, like, the alarm is not like a crazy hard wake up. There are days where it's like, oh, my God, this is miserable. But that's not the norm. For the most part, like, I feel pretty good at 8 o'clock.
Brendan's getting 10 hours some nights.
I could never even fathom what that's like.
Man, I'm jealous.
Those nights I'm probably waking up earlier naturally, but like, 8 o'clock is like the latest I'll wake up.
Like, I know my kids feel entitled that whatever they need, when at whatever hour, they just need to scream daddy or mommy and that they're going to get what they want. My dogs feel the same way. Like, my dogs realize if we're not up by a certain time, they have this kind of, they come in the bedroom and do this kind of flap that's really loud that basically lets us know it's time to get up. I want to go outside. I want to do some things. And our puppy, or I say puppy, but a little over a year dog, like, he plays both sides of the bed. Like, he will first go to Lisa's side and pop up and put the two front paws and basically say, I'm here, let's go. And if she says, Rocky, get out of here, I'm not doing it, he comes over to my side and basically says, I'm not kidding, it's time to get up, let's go. And then she just assumes, I'll get up with the dogs, she'll sleep a little longer.
That's part of the reason I wouldn't have a dog, because if a dog woke me up, I wouldn't want to own a dog.
Oh, they're very good at this flap thing that multiple of them do to basically let you know in case you didn't hear their first signs of I need to go out.
Yeah.
They basically will come into our bedroom and let us know it's time, we need to go outside.
I value my sleep more than I value a pet. Texans, Browns, the dog count, speaking of pets, the Browns come into town on Sunday. They take on the Texans at noon. Looking at the coverage map of this Browns-Texans game, the CBS early coverage, now there's a pretty good game. I mean, Jets at Minnesota, I mean, that has some national attention. That's the biggest game in terms of the coverage map for CBS. But if you were to look at the coverage map, all it is East Texas, basically, a little bit of West Texas, and then the Ohio area. It seems like the NFL is trying to limit the viewing of Houston Texans, Cleveland Browns, Deshaun Watson making his debut. Do you believe it's true? Do you believe Cleveland? Because remember the conversation whenever the suspension came out and the appeal came out and they settled on the amount of games, and everybody was like, well, did the NFL do this on purpose to try to get attention? Did the NFL do this on purpose to try to make it a huge marquee matchup? Because this week, it's the opposite of that.
I think maybe for a couple of reasons. I think I really firmly believe at the time they did it intentionally, thinking it was going to be a big deal.
See, I was on the opposite end of that. I thought it was a coincidence.
Yeah, I thought that at the time they thought it was going to be a big deal. But then since then, the things that have transpired, including a couple of other women that might now throw their cases into the ring, I think the NFL basically, after the dust settled, thought about it and thought, we don't need, no matter what comes out of this game, it's going to refer to the reason why it's become a big game, and that's a negative, and we don't want that, and we don't need that right now, especially getting closer to playoffs, and I think they probably did a 180.
Huh. Yeah, see, I don't know if there's anything nefarious about this.
Maybe the network also threw their hat into the ring and said, hey, listen, as the network, one of the networks carrying this game and carrying and covering the NFL, we don't want that.
I think if I'm just a normal NFL fan, just like living in wherever USA, if I'm looking at that early slate of games on CBS, I'm not sure Cleveland at Houston has my attention more than Jets at Minnesota. I think Jets at Minnesota would be my top game that I would want to watch if I live in anywhere USA. There's only four games there, though. That's why, like, the coverage map of this being so small is why I think that they are trying to hide it. Like, they don't want this attention. They don't want Deshaun Watson being this, you know, focal piece of Week 13 in the NFL, where they're trying to kind of, like, ease it back into life in the NFL for Deshaun Watson. Because the Jets at Minnesota has, I would say, 50% of the coverage map on CBS. Denver at Baltimore has a quarter. Pittsburgh at Atlanta has like 15%. And then Cleveland-Houston is the rest. Maybe even less than that. It might be, you know, do the ratios a little bit differently. I don't think that the NFL really loves the idea of having to answer Deshaun Watson questions. And yeah, that they kind of hope that the Cleveland doesn't make a run here late in the season. They kind of quietly go into the offseason with like a 6-11, 7-10 record. And then they get to the offseason and they hope that everybody, no one's ever going to forget about it, but where all this Deshaun Watson stuff's on the back burner.
I think they'd like to sweep it under the rug. I think they still remember the fact, though, that the circumventing of the whole way the salary was done by Cleveland to where he didn't make a whole lot of money this year, too. I think they still want them to really kind of suck next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that right now, after further review, as they would say, the officials would say, I think that they would like this one to go away.
It doesn't help that Cleveland hasn't really been that good.
That's the thing.
I mean, the Texans are the worst team in the NFL. Cleveland's what? How many wins does the Browns have? Four or five. So it's not a matchup that has any playoff ramifications. The biggest storyline is that it's Deshaun.
If the Texans were more competitive, though, leading into it, they might have thought about if Deshaun didn't have two other victims pop up.
Or if there was just one team in playoff contention. If the Browns flipped their record.
Too,
if the Browns were 7-4.
Yeah.
Because no one thinks that Deshaun Watson is going to come back and the Cleveland Browns are going to be a playoff contender and all of a sudden a Super Bowl darling. Because I said at the start of the year, if the Browns are in playoff contention when Deshaun comes back, I think Deshaun Watson would lead the Browns into being a dark horse Super Bowl contender. But because they're already, you know, they're 4-7 in 11 games, no one expects them to get into playoff contention. No one's taking him seriously as a threat.
No, that's true. But I think that too many factors changed from what their expectations were to what the reality has become. And therefore, the Texans, with only one win and a tie, don't look like they can be competitive with anybody.
Right.
And the Browns aren't, like you said, a playoff team. And so now there's more harm than good. There might have been good to a really competitive, fired up crowd and, you know, and coming down to the wire and, oh my God, the extra that was into this. Now it's kind of like, you know, after further review, we don't want any part of that.
Yeah. I mean, outside of Ohio and some parts of Texas, not really much buzz for this game. Oh, what's coming up on the Wheelhouse today?
Football.
All right. Going to do it for us. Thanks to Brendan for doing all of the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.